Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Help us to see our Heavenly Father, Christ, this evening, to see His glory as the exalted Christ and King. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ron Howes was swimming off the coast of New Zealand with his daughter and two of her friends. They were very experienced swimmers. I think Ron was even a lifeguard. But they were out swimming off the coast when suddenly they were surrounded by a large number of dolphins. Now, Ron, in all his experience of swimming out at sea, had never had this experience. It was just extraordinary. These dolphins were swimming around them closely, jostling them together. It was the sort of experience that people would pay a lot of money for. It was this truly magical experience, something out of a Disney film, until Ron spotted it. And all of a sudden, this wonderful experience of swimming with these dolphins so closely turned from delight and joy and wonder to abject fear. Why? Because there was a 3 meter long, 4 meter long great white shark circling them. And all of a sudden it became clear that actually these dolphins, they weren't there swimming with them, they were there swimming for them. These dolphins were literally drawing these swimmers together to protect them from this shark. When the shark came near, the dolphins would slap their tails on the water to try and deter the shark. These dolphins stayed with the four swimmers right the way back to the shore. It took them 30 minutes. And then when they left, the dolphins left them and the shark too. It took him a year to talk about this experience with other people. It was so overwhelming for him. You see, what he thought was a magical and exciting experience actually was a dramatic rescue. He just needed to see what it really was. Well, today as we begin our Christmas season, there's so much joy, wonder and excitement that Christmas brings. It's a wonderful occasion of light, of sharing, of festivities, of enjoying being with other people, a time when we can have something hopeful to look forward to in a what can be honestly quite a dark and gloomy and miserable time of year. It brings communities together, families together, friends together. It is a magical time of year, and it's wonderful that we have that. But if we see just Christmas as a magical experience for us and miss that actually it's a dramatic rescue from a danger far more serious than a great white shark, we've missed the point of Christmas. Christmas is a magical time, but it is also the greatest rescue of all time. Our reading from the New Testament helps us see that. It's on page 9 in our service sheets. Philippians chapter 2. It explains the significance of the story. We're familiar with the story of the journey to Bethlehem, the visiting of the shepherds, and then the wise men who travelled afar. But here we're told what's going on. Why was this baby so significant? Well, firstly, we need to see that Christmas is about a servant saviour. Christmas is about a servant saviour. Well, why is this birth so special? Why are we remembering it thousands of years later? Well, frankly, aren't there thousands and thousands of babies in history have been born into poverty? No, millions, possibly even billions. What's so special about this baby? Is it because it's a story with intrigue and a bit of scandal? Is it a story that we love seeing children act out? Is it a story that's got cows and sheep in it? Starry skies and fluffy straw? Why is it special to us? Well, it is special simply because of who the baby is. Again, let's refer to that reading that we had. Paul writes, Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. There is the significance of who this baby is. The Son of God, the eternal God, left the Father's side in heaven and took on flesh and became one of us. God became man. That's why this birth was unique in all human history. Look, many people have had high opinions of themselves, but very few have dared to claim that they are God on earth. But here, this baby born in Bethlehem, God in the flesh, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. As our carol puts it, low within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. The God who holds all things together becomes a baby in a feeding trough in a backwater corner of the Roman Empire. But here is the great turning point of history. Here everything changes because God has come to us and he makes himself known. It is the great story of the down-to-earth God. But not only is it extraordinary that God became one of us, but this God became one of us to serve us. He became a servant. Why? Why and how did he serve us? Well, we're told, and being found in the appearances of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He came to serve us by leaving the Father's side and coming to be one of us. He served us by taking on human flesh. He served us by coming to die for us. He walked to his suffering, humiliation, rejection, an execution, even death on a cross. How could that be? How could that be? The one who holds all things together, the eternal God, came to us and we rejected him, crucified him. There, outside Jerusalem, amongst criminals, humanity turned their back on God. That those four swimmers off New Zealand, they had no idea of the danger they were in until they saw the shark. They needed a rescue. They were in great peril. Well, God sent his Son into the world to show us of our need of a rescue. He sent a Savior to the world. Why? Because we need saving. Not from a shark, not from evil, but from ourselves. This is a Savior for all the people, you and me, each one of us. If we deny that, we're just deluded. Well, what do we need saving from, you might ask? Well, it's what the Bible calls sin. We've all rejected God as God. We move God into the periphery of our lives. We won't let him be God. And the result of that action is the mess and pain that we experience in our lives and in ourselves. All that we inflict on each other and on our lives. And God loves us. He loves us too much to just say, well, that's okay. No. He reveals our rebellion against him. But more than that, he sent his one and only Son into the world to deal with the problem of that sin. On the cross, as Jesus humbled himself, he bore upon himself as a sacrifice our sin and God's judgment and anger and sadness at that sin, so that we can be restored, forgiven, and made new. It is the best possible news. And let me say this again to you today, that if Christmas isn't the best news you've ever heard, then you've not understood it. You've not understood why Jesus came and humbled himself even to death on a cross. because he came to bring you back to God himself, the life that he wants you to live now and for all eternity, to bestow upon you the dignity that God gave you but that you wrecked because of your sin. It is such good news. Christmas is about a rescuer, one who humbled himself and served us. God served you. Well, why should we seek forgiveness from Jesus? Well, notice the second thing that we see from our passage, that Christmas is also about an exalted king. Paul continues after describing Jesus' humbling, being brought low, even to death on a cross. He then says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There in that feeding trough in Bethlehem would be the King of Kings, the one by whom nations would bow, and one day, every knee will bow. Every knee, every tongue will confess that he is the King of all. After Jesus had been crucified on the cross, his body laid in a tomb, God raised him from the dead and then exalted him to heaven. And there he reigns over all. He is the King and Lord of all. And one day he will return in that glory and he will establish his throne forever. I once got to play the character of Claudius in Hamlet, if you know the story. I rather enjoyed being king because that's what I got to be. It was great being king because you told people what to do and they did it. You asked for things and they obeyed. It was rather nice, I have to say. Despite being a despotic, wife-stealing, murdering king, it was a rather great character to play. Except for being haunted by your dead brother bit. But anyway, but there, being king, it's something that I guess that we all rather aspire to, isn't it? King of our lives. But just imagine that one day you wake up, bold as brass, you just discovered, come to your senses, that there you are, you're sat on God's throne, pretending to be king as God is king. And as you sit there and realize where you are, you realize you've got no place to be there at all. You are not the moral judge of the world and the universe. You are not the creator of all things. You are not the sustainer. You are not the one who knows all things and bring all things together according to your plan. You are not God. And that is our reality. So what do you think we should do? Shouldn't we get off the throne? Stop playing God? And lodge an apology? Of course we should. And the incredible thing is that the very God we've shoved off his throne so we can sit there is the same God who sent his Son into the world. The same God who humbled himself even to death on a cross. Today, this day is the day of salvation. Today is the day when the living God calls us to trust in his Son, not to ignore him as part of a story from the past or a figment of imagination, but the one who came to bring us life. But one day he will return and he will wrap up history as easy it is for us to switch off our computers. He will restore all things, right or wrongs, and he will bring his people into his kingdom forever. And this day, he says to us, bow the knee to Jesus. Receive his life. Recognize him for who he is, because one day you'll be forced to recognize him for who he really is, as Lord of all, and forced to kneel before him, but not as your Savior, but as your judge. Our passage tells us to bow our knees and worship Him, confess Him as Lord and Savior with our lips, and to rejoice in God who came to rescue us. Yes, Christmas is a magical time, but it's also a dramatic rescue. So come to Him and know Him. Make Christmas this a truly special Christmas by giving your hearts to Him. This new year we'll be running a course here at St. Peter's called Life Explored. It gives people opportunity to see the life that God wants us to live. Well, why I encourage you to come along. Find out more. In the new year we're running a series of events, meals and a service here called Come and See, and I invite you to come and see Jesus for yourself. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the humble servant who came to save. Find out who Jesus really is. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful good news of great joy that is for all the people, every one of us here today and throughout the world, to know Jesus as our rescuing King. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this Christmas time we won't be distracted by all the good things there is to enjoy by ignoring the greatest thing, the gift of Your Son. For we ask this in Your name. Amen.